This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, July 20, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Nearly 200 volunteers braved record-setting heat to build a new playground in Grand Rapids. WGVU's David Limbaugh was there.
We had these dates locked in, and it happened to be the hottest days of the summer so far.
That's Stephanie Andrews, president and CEO of the Grand Rapids Public Schools Foundation.
But our volunteers were still willing to come out, and we're making it happen.
A group of 180 volunteers tackled the job of building a new playground at Gerald R. Ford Academic Center, despite record-setting high temperatures.
Cooling towels and water, and everyone's still showing up. Everyone's still got a smile on their face and working hard.
Organizers say the former playground was falling into disrepair. The new ADA compliant playground features a basketball hoop activity area, two slides, eight swings, a merry-go-round, and communication activity center.
It's just amazing to see what it takes when volunteers and community come together to make a big impact for kids.
Funding for the project comes from the Reimagine GRPS bond and a community fundraising campaign. I'm David Limbaugh.
It's not the highest bid, but WGVU's Phil Dawson reports Muskegon is selling the historic Nelson House to the buyer with what the city planners call the best bid.
It seemed to be the most complete offer of all of the four received.
Muskegon City Planner Jamie Pesch says $175,000 was the high bid for the historic Nelson House, but they're selling it to Tobin Bailey and Jesus G. Paz Soto for $165,000, $10,000 less.
They had quotes from multiple trades on what would be needed to occupy the house. They plan to start immediately, making improvements both to the grounds around the house and the house itself.
Pesch says the higher bidder was not recommended after providing what he calls concerning estimates about what it would cost to make the 155-year-old mansion livable.
The estimate maybe didn't line up with what one might hear from a contractor, implied to us some level of unfairity with exactly what's needed to be done for the house.
Lumber Baron Charles D. Nelson built the mansion in 1869. Later, it was a church rectory for many years. The Muskegon School District planned to tear it down and to save it from demolition. The city bought it for a dollar and moved it from Jefferson Street to West Muskegon Avenue. Mayor Ken Johnson says the new owner has a year to make it livable.
They seem to be they'll be good stewards of it and do it justice.
Finally, somebody's hands that's ready to do what needs to be done at the house.
Gas prices in Michigan rise above $4 a gallon once again, staying in line with the national average. WGVU's Jennifer Moss has more.
U.S. gas prices have jumped to an average of $4 a gallon as the U.S. and Iran launch more attacks. According to AAA, the national average for a gallon of regular gasoline is now back to $4, and this includes Michigan. Adrienne Woodland, spokesperson for AAA, the Auto Club Group, says, quote, motorists across Michigan are seeing higher prices at the pump, with the state average moving back above $4 a gallon, end quote. Prices are up 20 cents in the state from 1 week ago. Michigan drivers are now paying an average of $4.15 per gallon for regular unleaded. AAA says this price is 11 cents more than this time last month and 99 cents more than this time last year. Motorists are paying an average now of $62 for a full 15-gallon tank of gasoline. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Nearly half of Michiganders with disabilities have never cast a ballot. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us about a West Michigan nonprofit making sure their voices are heard on Election Day.
This is a group of people who don't have as many resources available to them to learn what to expect day of, how to register, the ways that we can vote, and why they're important.
Samantha Brigham is development director for the MOCA Foundation, a nonprofit behavioral health organization supporting individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. She says MOCA offers a one-day election training program that empowers voters with disabilities to take part in the democratic process.
This is going to be an opportunity for people to learn about the voting process, what resources are available to them, and then how to stay engaged in community beyond Election Day as well.
According to MOCA, 45% of people with disabilities in Michigan have never voted. That's 7% lower than the national average. Brigham says every voter's voice, regardless of ability, deserves to be heard.
This is going to be a welcoming space. We have a lot of experts in the room, both with experience facilitating for the disability community, as well as people from the state who can come talk to us about the election.
A link to register for the program can be found on our website, wgvunews.org. I'm David Limbaugh.
The Cyclospora outbreak severely impacting Michigan has been traced to salad greens from Mexico and served at Taco Bell restaurants, but officials are still investigating other sources. WGVU's Dee Morrison spoke with a food safety expert advising restaurants and local chefs.
With over 6,000 people sickened in Michigan alone, restaurants are struggling with consumer anxiety about eating out and shifting health advisories about safe produce handling.
It's definitely posing a challenge for these restaurateurs because they have inventory in stock. They can't afford to lose it, but they're going to have to pivot and look at ways to serve the consumer what they're going to be looking for, which is safe food.
Sean Kohlhouse is a chef and owner of Culinary Cultivation in Grand Rapids, a staffing, consulting, and food safety certification provider. He says chefs are adapting menus, following advisories for handling produce, and swapping out pre-washed bagged salad mixes. But he warns no raw vegetable is completely safe until the outbreak source is confirmed.
I love my salads, but right now, kind of staying away from that. And I might choose something that's a little bit different. I might go with like a cooked kale or collard greens to still get those greens, but, you know, be a little bit safer.
Kohlhaas advises cooking greens to at least 158 degrees to kill the parasite. He also recommends that chefs source produce from trusted local farms over large commercial suppliers to rebuild diners' trust.
The biggest thing is trying to get this figured out, get it fixed, so we can move forward kind of a business as usual.
I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU Shelley Irwin takes a look at what FEMA is doing in Michigan, but first, news from around the state. Michigan's House Speaker wants Canadian officials to testify before state lawmakers about the wildfire smoke that's poured into the Great Lakes region recently. Colin Jackson has more.
The entire state is under an air quality alert as Canadian wildfire smoke continues to settle across the state. Republican Michigan House Speaker Matt Hall says he's reached out to Canada's U.S. ambassador about how to address it.
I think the Canadians would want a good relationship with Michigan, and so I think that they'll want to explain to us why this is happening and what their solution is. And I'm hopeful that we can have a partnership to fix this problem.
Speaking on WKAR's Off the Record, Hall says he could hold a hearing on the matter much faster than Congress could. Researchers suggest climate change is worsening Canada's wildfire season. I'm Colin Jackson.
Thousands of people showed up to rallies in Detroit, Lansing, and Grand Rapids over the weekend to support Dr. Abdul El Sayed's bid for U.S. Senate. Polling has shown that Congresswoman Haley Stevens has enjoyed considerable support from black voters. In Detroit, the rally-goers were mostly white. El Sayed, who was the former health director of Detroit and Wayne County, says he's confident he'll have more support from black voters on Election Day than polls suggest.
Folks know who I am and what I've been about because I've actually been here doing the work. And building the relationships authentically over the last 10 years.
The rallies featured Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and New York Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. New research shows a few native Michigan fish species could play an important part in controlling invasive mussels in the Great Lakes. That's because they have teeth that are built to crush the mussels' shells. Populations of invasive mussels have been rising. They eat the tiny organisms that baby fish rely on for food in the Great Lakes. Dan O'Keefe is a senior extension educator for Michigan Sea Grant. He says Western Lake Erie has seen a decrease in mussels, likely due to predation by the freshwater drumfish.
We've seen a decline in the standing biomass of mussels in Western Lake Erie. This means that from year to year, the total number of mussels is on a downward trajectory, and that's very encouraging.
O'Keefe says while some fish eat mussels, they usually prefer other food sources. He says that means native fish can be a part of mussel management, but are not a solution on their own. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The Federal Emergency Management Agency has opened a number of disaster recovery centers in Michigan to work in tandem with other services. WGVU Shelley Irwin talked to media relations specialist Daniel Bernardi about the local angle of FEMA.
Daniel Bernardi in the house. He's a media relations specialist, disaster operations division, office of external affairs, and you call home away from home, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Do we call it FEMA, Daniel?
That's right. We call it FEMA. Yeah, that's definitely the shorthand. Makes it a lot easier.
Yes, but yeah. We always like to, you know, present the big picture.
Absolutely.
First.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're here. We have much to talk about,
sure.
And keeping it basic and local is kind of the brand we have. Tell me about, the definition of, and I'll say, Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA.
Well, sure. So we're here to provide support. You know, we say it is locally executed. It is state-managed and federally supported. And so we have been called in as of President Trump's signature that made the catastrophic events of April 10th through the 21st an official major disaster declaration. And what that means is that folks that were affected by storms between April 10th and 21st, and if you live in a designated county for individual assistance, can now are now eligible for federal monies and in the form of grants. So so we want people to apply.
You don't have to pay that back.
That's right. Correct? A grant is a grant is a grant.
Yes. So the big elephant in the room is application for this.
Yes. Well, so here's the thing. It can be daunting. We know.
Especially if there's a storm involved and, you know, you're post-storm.
Yeah. Where are your documents? Where is all that stuff? And people have been through the worst days of their lives in a lot of cases. You know, the other day I was in a disaster recovery center and there's, you know, a woman in tears. And we know that people have been through it. Michiganders have been through it. So to your point, we want this to be as painless as possible. So when we say apply, we try to meet people where they're at and make it as easy as possible. You can apply online at disasterassistance.gov. You can give us a call at our FEMA helpline, which is 800-621-3362. You can download the FEMA app, or as of this week, you can come into a brick and mortar disaster recovery center. That's a Michigan Disaster Recovery Center, a MyDRC. The state is running these fabulous disaster recovery centers. We can come in with your questions, and you can sit across the table from someone who will meet you with empathy and hear your story and triage your unique situation.
This conversation doesn't happen until after a disaster. Is that kind of the key?
This particular conversation?
Yes.
You know, it all depends on the disaster. Right now, we're talking about it, you know, after the disaster. But essentially, yes, it always happens after the governor requests assistance from the federal government.
But good to know you're out there for us.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I would like to think so. We're here for Michiganders, and we want folks not to hesitate. If you experienced any kind of negative effect from the flooding and the tornadoes and the catastrophic effects of April 10th through the 21st,
okay,
come in and see us, give us a call, visit us online.
Yes. Tell me more about your disaster recovery centers and where one is in our West Michigan.
Absolutely. There are currently 8 of them across the state. The nearest ones here are, there's one in Fremont, and there's one in Gratiot County. I hope I said that wrong. Thank you. Gratiot, Gratiot County. Forgive me. I am not local. I'm doing my best. I got to learn somewhere. So please come in and see us at one of our disaster recovery centers if you prefer to come in and see us in person. And you can apply at any disaster recovery center if one is more convenient to you for your work, or one is more convenient for any particular reason. There's no particular reason why you should go to one versus another.
And the application process is such that I'm spelling out the disaster and what I need for recovery, dollar-wise and more?
Yeah. You would go through your camera roll, and because most likely you would have taken pictures of the damage to your home or to your property, and you would want to bring that in. You would want to bring in your any insurance paperwork, or if you are uninsured, remember FEMA is a backstop for if you're not insured or if you're underinsured. That is what we are here for, so please take advantage. Also, and then you want to bring in other basics, your identification, proof of your residency, that you lived in a designated county. That's a county that's been designated for individual assistance.
And that includes counties in our listening area.
That's correct. Yeah.
Allegan, I think.
Allegan, Kalamazoo, Barry. And then it goes all the way north, and that can be easily found at FEMA.gov. So definitely come in and see us if it's your preference to do this in person. And one of the advantages I should also say, Shelley, is that you can in a disaster recovery center, it's kind of a one-stop shop. So, you know, you can be sitting across the table from me, for example, and I could say, you know what, you should really talk to somebody from the Small Business Administration. They're sitting right there. Talk to them about a low-interest loan. And a lot of times between the two agencies, we can get people up on their feet. And that's kind of the idea. FEMA was never designed to make people whole. It is meant to get you on your feet. So our grants are, you know, you don't have to pay them back. That's why they're grants. Small Business Administration does low interest loans.
Talking all things FEMA, as we learn from the best, Daniel Bernardi with us, Media Relations Specialist. Are there housing inspections involved at all?
There are, yeah. So you, I'm not a subject matter expert, I should say, when it comes to FEMA housing inspection. However, it is important for your listeners to know that when applying, you will receive a phone call from a FEMA housing inspector. It is important. This day and age, we all get phone calls from, you know,
I know.
We do not recognize the area code. It's right. Important when you, after you've submitted that application, to pick up that phone. And we will try again. I believe it's up to three times. And that doesn't mean that then it goes away. It just means that it could stall and delay things for you. So pick up that phone or return the text message. Again, we try to meet people where they're at. Mm-hmm. And we'll schedule a time to come out and take a look and assess your damage, and come up with a report and then take it from there.
Yes. Daniel, what else do we need to know when it comes to the good work that's being done by FEMA?
I think also it's important to know that the deadline to apply is August 31st at this point. So I think that's something important for your listeners to know. Also, it's important to know that anytime there's a disaster, there are always bad actors out there. There are con artists and scammers.
Let's talk fraud.
Yeah. FEMA inspectors will always have a photo identification like the one I have on right now. Survivors should feel empowered to ask for that photo ID. You should ask for it. They will have your they will already have your 9-digit registration number ahead of time that you would have been provided throughout the process of your application as it's been processed. You will have a 9-digit number. That housing inspector will have that number. If your spidey senses are telling you something's like not right, give us a call, 800-621-3362. And if for any particular reason it really doesn't feel right, notify your local authorities. But we will have, I just want to shine a light on it. This doesn't happen all the time. It's just important for people to be aware that this does happen, unfortunately, when people are in their most vulnerable.
And back to square one, be aware that FEMA is there for us.
Yes, we are here for you. Please take advantage. Please apply. You know, there's room at the table. The other thing I'd love for your listeners to know is, you know, this is a state of good neighbors, and there are people that are, you know, on one side of the street, they go, oh God, I just don't have it as bad as, you know, John across the street who lost his whole house and I feel so bad for him. You know, I only lost, you know, a piece of fence or a sheet of drywall that was damaged. There's room at the table for you as well. So that survivor guilt, so to speak, since I can't think of a better term, you know, just keep in mind there's room at the table. Let us tell you how we can help you and let us triage your unique situation.
The invitation is open. We're in worst case scenarios happen when the disaster strikes. Daniel Bernardi, one more time, best website would be?
Disasterassistance.gov.
As easy as that.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Thank you so
Thanks.
Much for having us.
Good day to you.
Good day to you.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, July 20, 2026. I'm Joe Balecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.